The thing I was most like shocked about was that. So me and I'm not gonna air the people out, whatever. Mm-hmm. But me and the guy I was with, like, we walk into the McDonald's, and I was shocked because this guy, we walk in and the guy's cussing out the cashier, and like is looking terrifying as he's doing it. It's not like he's just standing there like I would if they got my order wrong. Like, he hasn't even gotten his order yet. He hasn't even paid yet. And he's just like getting really close to the cashier. And the thing that really took me back, I like look around, I'm like, nobody else is going to say anything to this doofus? This clown?
I have always believed that it should almost be a requirement to be a citizen of the country.
As a man.
That you work in the service industry in some facet for a year. Just so that you don't act like a complete ass when something doesn't go perfect.
Israel has that, where you have to serve in the military.
Well, yeah, I know. I was kind of... A lot of countries do, but...
Well, yeah, I'd never heard of the other ones. But yeah, I think so.
South Korea does... I can't remember how many European countries maybe do now still. But anyways, I was thinking the same type of terms, only just so that people can be empathetic about the fact that maybe you'll get mustard on your burger by mistake.
You have to eat dog shit for a year, and then you can learn the value of living life. And like, because this kid, I looked at this kid and I was like, this is somebody who... neither parent really gave a shit about raising this person. They were probably like 22, 23. I'm like, it's like, this guy is a piece of shit. So yeah, I tell him, hey, get your fucking friend out of here. Like, to his friend that he was with. I was like, get your fucking friend out of here. He's going to cause problems and he will go to jail because everybody wants this clown out of here.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, because he was, oh man. I mean, he did throw his drink at the cashier. So that's technically assault, but I don't know. Whatever.
You ever seen people do that fire in the hole thing?
What do you mean?
When you're going through the drive-thru and they give you your drink and then you shout fire in the hole and you throw it back in.
I've never personally seen it,
but it looks funnier in hell.
I've wanted to do it.
I know, but I'm too nice of a person. It's like, hell, that's a terrible mess.
you ever go to a fast food place and just by looking at the person who's getting your food for you, you just know that it's going to be wrong.
Well, just yeah, like, there's.
I might as well just not even look. It's going to be wrong.
That's where I've just gotten used to a long time ago, ordering the burger how it comes fully loaded.
Right.
And then they always get it right then. It's when you ask for the specialties.
I don't know about that, but yeah, at McDonald's, yeah. Yeah, because... that's pretty, every burger is basically the same except for the Big Mac.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta, like, if you're making a quarter pounder, you know you're not getting the diced onions, you're getting the sliced onions. Okay. If you're making a Big Mac, you gotta get the special sauce. Yeah, but like, it's kind of hard to screw those up. I'm talking about like Taco Bell, where it's like they got like 50 different things, right? And like nobody orders. You don't just go there and order the number one. Like, half the people don't just go there and order number one. I love Taco Bell, but half their employees just don't know how to make their food.
I don't think I would ever want to work at a fast food Mexican place because I just have this vision that I choose to ignore when I order from those types of places. But I have this vision that the meat comes out of a tube that just looks like cat food.
It comes out of a bag.
Where it's just like, squirt it right into a soft shell.
Oh, they don't squirt it. They put it into a...
That's what I envision when I think of...
What you want me to tell you how they do it? They boil the bag and then they cut the bag open and dump it into one of those little the metal tins or whatever it's called.
The warmers or whatever.
No, it's like a rectangular tin bowl thing. And then they bring it up to the line and then they scoop it out with their weird scooper thing.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, it's cat food. So,
yes,
yeah, so but it's delicious. It's delicious. So, like, Taco Bell's probably my number one. So actually,
what did your Taco Bell meal cost you?
Well, I didn't go there today.
I know, but the last time you went, ballpark.
Well, so the good thing about Taco Bell, the one that I go to, is they have a $5 combo. So I usually just get that because I'm not going to spend $15 at a Taco Bell. Maybe at Chipotle, not Taco Bell. But because
I was going to say, you can get 3 homemade tacos from a food truck for like $10.
I can make Mexican rice very easily at home. Very easily. Authentic Mexican rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been doing that a lot too. It's way better than, like, even when you go to the good sit-down Mexican places, their Spanish rice is not. It's not even as good as Uncle Ben's, let alone real rice.
We might need to make taco bar later on this year. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll sort that out on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll sort that out on Saturday. But like, Taco Bell used to be the number one. That was in the late 2000s. That's when they were at their peak, when they still gave a shit about the product and the quality that their people in the back were giving out. And like, you get your, I don't even remember, your cheesy gordita crunches and all that kind of stuff. That's when they were king. It's when they had that kind of stuff and they gave shit about it. Oh yeah. That's when it was so good. And you could get like a taco for 80 cents.
I was going to say, do you think it came down to price point on those higher end pieces now?
Well, I went to Taco Bell and I got a shitty burrito. Like a shitty steak burrito for $7. I'm like, no, I'm going to Chipotle if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I like Chick-fil-A. Man, I could talk about fast food with my fat ass for, we could make a total whole episode about it. Oh shit, here's Tyler. Hang on.
You know, that might be some good off-season conversation.
Well, yeah. I mean, however, what I will say is that, like, Culver's, though, man, ever since you started bringing them up, I've been like, that's date night right there.
Yeah, if you're going to spend $10 for a meal anyways, might as well get a deluxe.
The prices of all these foods are skyrocketing.
Yeah. Just stupid.
It's lunch used to be $5. That was the price point. The $5, maybe $5.99. That's why Subway made the $5 footlong. Because they said, you're going to spend $5 on lunch, come here, get a sandwich. Then in the, like, by like 2013, it went up to $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then lunch, you had to hit that $10 price point because this is what people are paying. Now it's like 15.
Yeah, it's
God. If you want to go to Five Guys, you have to take out a second mortgage.
Dude, I saw that fucking $30 for fucking Five Guys, dude. You're only paying for the fries.
Yeah, if you want to get their like deluxe. That's so stupid. You want to get their like deluxe hamburger, their fries, and a shake, it's $30. That is stupid. Never take your children to Five Guys. Never take your children to Five Guys because you don't want them asking for it again. Man, that's
Good I don't Lord. Have to worry about that. I just made frozen pizza for the kids today because I felt like being lazy for dinner. And my youngest one, Nora, she's a professional picky eater.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that she asked what we were making. I said pizza. And she goes, And she's like, what kind? I'm like, well, what kind do you like? She started to say cheese. We have a, I have a rule. And I think every parent should have this rule so that cheese pizza can just go ahead and die. Cheese is the free topping that comes with the real topping. So there is no such thing as cheese pizza.
Right.
So I said, no, we don't need cheese pizza in this house. It's going to be sausage. It's just sausage. Yeah. Plain sausage.
Just sausage.
I'm like, so if you don't like cheese, what other slice of pizza do you like? Pepperoni, she says. Like, do you like pepperoni because it's easy to pick off so that you have cheese pizza? And she just started smiling and walked away. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, man.
It's like, damn you, kid. Eat something. I'm trying to feed you some slightly unhealthy cardboard pizza from Jack's.
Eat it.
Hey, look at that. Supporting the family business. Anyway. What was I going to say?
I don't know, but Allison might be popping in a minute. She's got a work call that she's on, but.
Sure. I mean, if you want to go get real cheese pizza, you need to go to Italy. Because that's like, their cheese pizza there is like, yeah, that's legitimate pizza.
Well, they're not in the freezer section at my grocer for
exactly
$2.50 or whatever.
You got them for $2.50?
Yeah, they were wheeling and dealing.
Oh boy, I might need to ask you to bring like 8 of them because now they're like, too bleak.
I might have bought 10 because we had room in the freezer.
I mean, yeah, you might as well, right?
Right? Yeah. When if you're gonna be throwing dollars down,
I know for me, my favorite fresh pizza somewhere in, but I got all these made to like warm up meals. Mm-hmm. That I got from the store that were really, really high quality. But
the thing I can't do the HelloFresh crap. Never, you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
With
HelloFresh, you gotta be disciplined and know that you're gonna cook that stuff. Because if you literally order that stuff, you're literally just wasting money. That's why I just got those ready to make meals from, like, they have them at Mariano's and Jewel. So I'm just gonna get those because I know I can just heat that up and then just eat that. Because I know I was thinking about doing HelloFresh. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I already know I'm not gonna cook any of that stuff.
You are throwing money down the drain for them just to package up food and send it to you.
I don't trust groceries exactly. That come in the mail.
No. Now, if you're rolling in cash and you're just like, I just don't have the time to even figure that out, I get it.
Then they should just go out to eat if you're rolling in the cash.
Yeah. Well, I think the big part of the HelloFresh thing is just so you eat better, but whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I can understand that.
I don't know. You know, there's somebody listening right now who's working in who's sitting in a cubicle with one ear butt in because he doesn't want the boss to see that he's listening to a podcast. Just going, can you fucking talk about football already?
We're getting there.
I have 5 minutes because my boss is in a meeting. Can you please talk about the football? Sure. That's what this person's thinking right now.
So I've had a chance to sober up since Saturday night's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go ahead and rewatch the game.
Why?
Well, one, I missed the first half. And
every time you tell me that you go back and you watch a loss like that, I just think of the scene from Da Vinci Code where that guy's just whipping himself in the back with the whip with nails in it and hooks. I just think, why would you go through that torture?
Well,
why?
Sometimes you need to watch a game with a sober lens on.
Good Lord. Once is enough for me with that. Ugh, jeez Louise.
The second half, I didn't really even, especially the fourth quarter, I didn't really even watch the defense because I knew that we just completely shut down that Kansas attack.
Yeah.
But so there's just one thing I'm going to say, because I've listened to other shows and then I'm ready to stop talking about Kansas, is fourth down on our final drive began at the 1 minute mark with one timeout, not 30 seconds like people are saying. It began at the 1 minute mark, and then we fucked around because we were killing the clock. Yeah. And that's when fourth down actually, like, timeout happened. We had no timeouts left in the field goal unit was on with 32 or whatever seconds up. Yeah, when there's 30 seconds to go on your own 30-yard line, that is the only thing you're going to be able to do. You might as well kick the field goal. But we had a minute and a timeout. It's 6 inches to get that first down. Anyways, that's the end of my thoughts on the Kansas game.
Yeah. My thoughts on the Kansas game is you're playing against the 89th ranked defense in the country. Mm-hmm. How are you not putting them away when you shut them down on offense?
Yep.
I'm not trying to like cast stones or like whatever. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
As a Cyclone fan, it's unacceptable.
I think our coaches know that too, and I'm sure they're they've been putting in the man hours. I can guarantee that without knowing a single one of them personally. That's why I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about Kansas State. And I haven't even watched Kansas State really play other than watch some highlights. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, but I haven't really watched them. I didn't really watch them play either. All I know is that Adrian Martinez ran for 187 yards. Like, one of the things that makes Kansas State does, he runs for over 100 yards. Kansas State wins the game. He ran for almost 200 yards and three touchdowns. He was pedestrian in the passing game, but he's able to be pedestrian in the passing game because he ran for almost 200 yards because running the ball is strength. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really going to be like a must for him to slow him down, or maybe like put like a spy on him or play him like we did Jalen Daniels. So, I mean, that's sort of my –
I don't mean to intrude, but I think before we talk about the Kansas State game, I have a question, because this is something that I've been thinking of, like, now that we're five games in, got seven games left, it's one of those things that are going to need to start thinking about, and kind of put the season into perspective. So we're 3-2. It's fine. We have a winning record, but we have seven games of conference left in a tough conference. We beat our rival. We won three games in a row and lost two close games to two teams that seem pretty well. Now, you can either have the perspective of, wow, those were really close games, but guess what? We beat Iowa, and we took care of the teams that we needed to, but that was really close, and you know what? We're going to still keep in all these games. Whatever. We'll come out victorious in some of them. Or do we have the mindset of, well, the wheels kind of freaking fell off the last six quarters for our offense? Our defense looks good, but it's got to score points. Like, what mindset, like, do you have and should we have? Like, I don't know. I think we're too close to the situation, and we need a couple more data points. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know. For me personally, I'd say I'm in the middle, because, like, yes, we did beat Iowa, but, like, honestly, we're good enough now to the point where, yes, beating Iowa is good, but that's not the end-all, be-all to the season because we have the type of talent to compete in the Big 12. And to be fair, the wheels have sort of fallen off. So I feel like I'm in the middle, but I'm leaning probably towards the latter.
Here's where I'm stuck. Yeah. And this is part of why Saturday bothered me so much. was that Kansas is taking full advantage of what's being laid out in front of them.
Exactly.
And I don't think that they're good. I still don't think they're good. And we lost to them.
And they might win this weekend.
And because we lost to them, does that mean that I don't think we're any good? No, that's not the case either. I think we fucked up more than enough times, and that's why Kansas beat us. But they're taking advantage of the opportunities laid out in front of them, like I believe we should have been doing these last 2 weeks. What I'm excited about is I have to believe that either Jirel Brock or Cartavius Norton are going to be dressed and playing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. When I watched back that Kansas game in the fourth quarter, Brock was still suited up and on the sidelines. Yeah. So if the injury was real, now who knows? Talking to a specialist, getting more in-depth treatment, they may have decided, you know what, you really fucked yourself up. But on game day, he was still in full pads midway through the fourth quarter when the camera panned down the sideline. And so as a fan, I've got to at least take that as there's a chance that our number one in the backfield is going to be playing. And that changes all kinds of things for this next game. Because he was ripping Kansas a new one when he was playing. And if we can have that running attack from Jirel Brock with Silas and Sanders backing him up, or if we can get Norton a few touches too, because you got to remember a ways back now, but he was looking electric when he was playing, just to take some of that pressure off of our first year starting quarterback would go a long ways on this offense. In the defense, I don't have any concerns. I mean, they're gonna figure out a way to shut down Adrian Martinez. I've been calling him Taylor too long. But I didn't know that Kansas State plays another copycat cloud defense like the rest of the conference does.
Yep. That's why we need to change it up.
We
gotta change it up because everybody's taking our defense.
We got to go to Tampa too, baby.
That was funny to me. Was my guess? At what point does another defensive coordinator say, "No, you know, I think I'm going to try something different so I can be the unique defense"?
Well, it will mold to the offenses.
Yeah.
And.
But anything they can throw at us, we've already done better in practice. So.
Right.
I think that we're going to see, I have to believe that we're going to see an uptick on offense, and prove me wrong on my prediction that our defense is going to slow Kansas State down compared to what their current totals are running up in conference. Yeah.
That's the thing I'm afraid of is they're looking really damn good. The thing about Deuce Vaughn, the reason why he hasn't been able to get loose against us is because we weren't afraid of Skylar Thompson running. He was all right at running, not great. Mm-hmm. Adrian Martinez is pretty damn good at running the football. He can't throw to save his life. That was evident at Nebraska.
Let me counter
running
you.
The football. He's about as good as Jalen Daniels. And the other thing is he has a line. He has other playmakers around him that are better than the Kansas guys.
I'll counter you with this. I believe our defensive secondary is stronger this year than they have been the last couple of seasons.
Yes.
To be able to allow more attention to the running that Kansas State's going to throw at. and leave our guys more so more isolated on a play action.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we're also able to offset that. Yep.
Right, and also if I could add, we have corners that aren't afraid to tackle mm-hmm. either. So if they need to come up and help with the run game,
you have to be able to hit in the open field mm-hmm. if you're going to be a cornerback in this style of defense. That's for sure.
Yeah,
because Miles Purchase can match him dudes up.
Yeah,
I think I saw a stat this week. Talking about Iowa State here, we'll talk about Kansas State in a second, but I saw a stat this week that Iowa State dropped from the number 12th offense to like the number 63rd in Power Five. So there's only 66 teams. I think that raised a lot of alarm bells for people, but I think that the last year's offense, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where the metrics and the way that you measure stuff, it only matters for what you're measuring, and like you can be measuring the wrong thing, and you can weight things differently so you can massage the numbers to really show how good your team is. I mean, we do it every week,
right?
We do it every week with our team, and who knows, maybe Kansas's defense was really good, but their offense was on the field for 2 seconds against every other team, so it just got inflated. Who knows? I don't know, but those numbers from last year, you got to remember that we had Breece Hall, an NFL running back, torching dudes, having a 40-yard run every game, running in at least a touchdown a game. And shit, he broke that record. You got to remember that we had one of the best scoring percentages in the red zone last year. We had Charlie Kolar, who caught everything. You have to remember that all that was true last year. We don't have it anymore.
I think it's just kind of hitting me right now.
Mm-hmm.
You take for granted these last couple of seasons having a more or less healthy, Breece Hall and Jirell Brock
mm-hmm.
as your 1-2 combo. And now here this season, you're seeing there is no Breece Hall, obviously. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Jirell just got injured. And the rest of the backfield, they're no slouches, but those two backs are they're pretty damn good.
They're not
Breece. Yeah, those two guys are pretty damn good. And so just that safety blanket of being able to hand that ball off and get your 4 to 5 yards on first down or whatever, and get ahead of the sticks. We don't quite have that with a quarterback that's still learning on the job.
I mean, that's why we haven't got blown out for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Like we right. There have been games that we've been in that we've lost that we should have got blown the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And it's all because Breece Hall kept drives alive. Charlie kept drives alive. And X kept drives alive. If you have a guy to keep a drive alive, it makes it look a lot better for your offense, even if your offense ain't moving the way that fans would hope it for it to move. Like Breece getting all the hard yards so that you can just keep drives alive is huge. And it keeps the score close because it keeps them from having the ball.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with the offense at all, at all. I don't think it's changed at all, really, since last year. I think we have different personnel who's not as experienced and maybe as talented as the guys from last year. I don't think it's changed. Schematically, I don't think it's changed at all. I think it's the same damn thing. We just have lesser guys, I guess.
So how much has Kansas State improved from previous years?
Let me tell you this. They got 6 sacks on the weekend against Texas Tech. Their pass rusher, their touted pass rusher, mm-hmm. was playing at a much higher level than Will McDonald right now. He's getting double teamed and he's still breaking through. I think he has like 5.5 sacks on the season, but he's getting pressure every play. He's a dog. His name's like Felix something. I don't know what his last name is, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'm just trying to play out. Here's where we are compared to last season and the season prior. And where is Kansas State compared to those last two seasons? Because we beat the fuck out of these clowns the last two seasons.
I know.
And so even if they're better than they were before and we're not quite as good as we have been in the last two seasons, that doesn't mean that they're going to blow us out. That doesn't mean that they're even going to win.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking right now because I listen to my share of Kansas State podcasts. I like listening to the opposing views just for something to do. And of course, they'll throw out the 2020 season because it's the COVID year and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they didn't even have anybody healthy. Yeah, right. You knew you were going to get your asses whooped and you were manufacturing excuses before you even had to go into that game. Then you look at last year and we slapped them around right from the start and never looked back. And that was a night game raucous as fuck. Brees just sends one to the house immediately. And you look at I'm peeking at the box score because I was like, shit, it was 33-20. It was even that close. Mm-hmm. They put up 13 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That wasn't a game. That wasn't a game.
It was a bloodbath.
That's right. So what are we even talking about?
Yeah, it was bloodbath.
We're gonna murder these guys 6:30 at night. Oh, it's gonna get wild.
Yeah, we're gonna wear the black uniforms. You know what's going on.
Oh, it's gonna get wild.
I just
don't come at me like this is a rivalry, because it's not.
It is a rivalry to me.
All Blacks.
It's not to me.
Why is it not a rivalry to you?
Why?
Because they feel like another opponent to me.
Why?
This is a rivalry to me like Missouri was a rival to me. It wasn't.
You think it's just a manufactured rivalry because we need more rivalries?
It's a one-sided rivalry is what it is from a fan base that's desperate for a football rival.
Oh, yeah. They want somebody to hate.
Yeah.
And somebody to hate them back.
It's no different than West Virginia poking the bear at Texas all the time because they're just dying for somebody to that the fan base can rally
can
around.
Can you please hate me?
Yeah.
Please, actually, that's a fair point because Kansas cares more about Missouri than they do about K-State.
Kansas cares more about basketball except for when they're undefeated.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
I can't wait till we talk about basketball.
They consider their bigger rival Mizzou, though, since their campuses are closer.
Yeah, I mean, I like beating Kansas State as much as the next guy, but I don't care about it any more than Oklahoma State or name them down the list. I care about it more than TCU. Well, it's a whole different thing.
It's a different thing for TCU. You want to beat them because you want to show them who's boss.
Yeah, I want to beat TCU like I want to beat Kansas because I think it's embarrassing when you lose to them.
Yeah. Well,
now with the arrogance of their fan.
TCU still?
Dude,
you still think that they're a baby team?
Yeah, they're always going to be a G5 in my eyes. They don't belong.
Mr. Rigid is rigid.
Oh, they don't belong. They don't belong.
They don't belong. That little punk ass school.
On my if I have a headstone, I've told Allison.
You think you're going to be buried in a community burial?
I told Allison that I'm planning on being cremated and she can throw me around somewhere.
Right.
That sounds cheaper instead of wasting the money.
Why do you care about the money? You'll be dead.
Don't you ever talk about generational wealth? But anyways,
Wait. Generational wealth is so that you don't have to worry about the difference between cremated and buried.
Yeah, but every penny counts.
Generational wealth? No, you can spend the money.
All right. Well, at any rate, I think it's a waste of money. How about that line? So if I were to have a headstone, I would probably have in some fine print.
We're going to come back to this.
I would have in some fine print that Baylor and TCU, UCF, Cincinnati do not belong, and Houston do not belong in my conference. Mm-hmm.
What about like the Pac-12 teams that might be
coming? They can come.
Okay, because they're legitimate.
Yeah, I'll accept them as brothers in arms, just like the Big 12 South teams.
Because they got fucked over too.
Well, I mean, there's still a hierarchy. It is Big 8 originalists, and then there's the Big 12 South teams, and then the Pac-12 leftovers can be at the next rung, and then there's the G5 that never should have been.
I mean, I understand us adding UCF and teams like that because it seemed like our conference was going to it seemed like our conference was going to die if we didn't. We had to make a move. But in hindsight, it's like, oh, fuck, we should have waited.
Yeah. It's like you kind of just nabbed that lot lizard, didn't you?
Gosh, shit. Shit. I have a lot of friends who do this when after they get married. They go, oh, shit, why did I marry her when I married her?
Huh. Yeah, I told you that in confidence.
I made a fucking mistake. Oh, shit. See, that's why
I'm kidding, by the way, if anybody heard me.
That's why I waited for a long time. I was like, all right, I'm not going to make that mistake. I made that pre getting married. So, anyway.
So, what are your thoughts on the Kansas State game coming up this
week? Me? Yeah. Me? I know what Kansas State is. They're a team that runs a lot. They're not the greatest passing, but they're going to run a lot. I have full confidence that John Haycock will figure out a way to stop them. Getting Kansas and Kansas State back-to-back is really good because you don't really need to – you might need to change up your schemes a little bit, but you've been practicing a lot in practice. It's very fresh, and you just had a game.
I thought that too, yeah. Like you got the – you kind of got K-State light last week.
You got K-State light. They do a lot more trickeration, Kansas does. But K-State plays a different level. And guess what? You didn't beat K-State light, so you got to figure it out now. But the defense did a great job. I have total confidence in the defense. If they come out and it's a balanced game and we're cheering, I think they will hold their own until the very end. If we're winning or it's a close game or whatever, if it's a landslide, it might get bad. But like anything like the older Cyhawks, where they're just hanging on to their leg, come on. Like I think they might break. I think they might break at the end of it because it just, I don't know. But the offense, man, like it's time to shit or get off the pot. Like, come on. Do we have a preseason all Big 12 wide receiver or not?
Well,
is Easton Dean the greatest tight end to ever play at Iowa State or not? Is Hunter Deckers the godchild of the quarterback that you've proclaimed him to be or not?
Yep.
Is our line improved, like you said it was, or not? If it's not, we will find out on Saturday. If it is, we'll find out on Saturday. I can't wait.
There's a couple of things. Again, watching that game back, Jalen Knoll looked very dangerous when he had the ball in his hands early on in the game, and then we just stopped giving him the ball, which was
We throw to him.
I don't understand.
Two times in the first quarter, and we never throw to him again.
Dimitri Stanley is
because we hate ourselves.
He's coming along, which is great because there was a point. In those non-conference games where I was really wondering if we should just like, what are we going to do with this guy with 1 year of eligibility?
I mean, he looks great.
Right.
And you know, the X is going to keep getting attention. And so Stanley, you're going to get your opportunities in single coverage. And so
maybe it's a sign of the time. Saturday,
yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, I'd love it. I would love it. And the other thing that I saw too was, assuming that one or both Brock and Norton are not available for this Saturday's game, I've seen us trying to hit Silas and more so Sanders on a screen and get him out in open field away from the line of scrimmage. And can the quarterback make that throw? Because I think getting those two guys away.
No, the quarterback, he can't make that throw. He can't.
But he has to.
He hasn't proven through five games that he can make that throw.
That has to be something that gets corrected, because
it has to, but it's going to be an offseason thing. He can't make that throw. No. He can't. And I know it sucks. I like this, my theme of this episode, because we're going to get to later, like giving predictions and stuff. My theme of this episode, I don't hate our team. I'm not mad at our team. I don't think, not yet, anybody should be fired or whatnot. I think they have a chance to figure out some of the things.
Yeah.
Unlike that thing, that's this offseason correction thing that they have to figure out. Mm-hmm. But my theme of this is, you're listening to this podcast for a reason. Do you want me to hype it up and tell you that everything is going to be great and okay and we still have a shot at the Big 12 championship? Or do you want me to be real with you and tell you, I don't know with this team or whatnot? Yeah. Because this episode, I'm going to be very real with you. I'm not going to hype it up and say, we're going to win it for the Gipper. We're going to still go 10-2 and go to the college. We're going to win all. Yeah. No, that's not what I'm going to do. I'll do that in preseason because we don't have any tests. It's fun. It's goofy and fun. Now I'm going to be real and tell you my real thoughts.
I'll let you do that because I have a hard time doing that in predictions. Because
yes,
I just can't. I have a mental block where I can't let myself believe
that sort of thing. Now I have a problem waking up every morning of the football, every football weekend, and calling either Kevin, Tyler, or somebody else, and going, "We're gonna fucking lose."
And I wake up at 5 a.m. or so every morning, like, we're going to smoke these clowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to know, I had a dream last night that we beat Baylor on a fumble recovery, kind of like the Brent Curvey, Joel Klatt thing. Oh. And I was like, oh shit, that might have happened. I was like, oh shit, that might have happened. I woke up and I looked at my phone and I'm like, oh fuck.
Did I ever tell you about that game?
No.
That was the weirdest game. So the night before that, we're at this high school party in small town.
Ayo.
That gets surrounded by the small town cops and sheriffs because they don't have anything to do, and ended up holding down the fort in the basement there until the sun came up when they finally left. And Allison, I was dating her at the time. She didn't get to go to the game with me. I had extra ticket because she was the driver for a friend who ended up getting busted by the cops.
You should have brought me. I would have been in sixth grade.
you weren't in Roman, Iowa at the time.
No, I was in sixth grade.
So we go, a group of us end up going to the game and got a speeding ticket. Thank God it was by the sheriff because I was being stupid again. And they knocked her down real healthy for me. And so the weekend hadn't been off to the greatest start. Then a tornado comes.
Yep.
And we're hanging out in Hilton Coliseum for a while. And thank God we stayed because that was one of the greatest games. And I remember watching that big boy run all the way in.
Big old boy. There he goes.
Oh, God.
Get on your horse.
Get out of them. And that's why we have to have the hillside tickets, because that's where I was in that game. Got to have those entry-level tickets for the high school kids.
This is what I'll tell you for the dumb men who are listening. The people who are like, I don't want all the intricacies. We don't have all the intricacies. I'll give you the key people of the game to know. The key people of the game to know is obviously Adrian Martinez. He can run a lot. He's not the best passer. He's going to run a lot. He's going to Colin Klein the shit out of it. Colin Klein is a coach on the staff there. That's what they're going to do. Deuce Vaughn will also get the ball. He'll be the running back for the option. They're going to do option a lot, and he'll be the running back. So, great. Two really good runners.
Mm-hmm.
Phillip Brooks and Malik Knowles are their wide receivers. They were the same way wide receivers last year. They're both really good. Their line's pretty good. Their defensive line is elite, and I think their defense is pretty good. This is a good team. They lost to Tulane because Adrian Martinez loses stupid games every year. But they are a better team than Tulane. They're definitely better than Oklahoma. They're better than Texas Tech. Are they better than Iowa State at night wearing black uniforms? We'll see. That's what I'll tell you. You can make your own decisions. The way that I think we attack this team is obviously we stop them on offense, just take away the run. And on defense, you got to get some middle passes. You got to get it to Jalen Noll doing a 15-yard crossing route or something. You got to get it to Dimitri Stanley deep. Because if you do the dink and dunk stuff, they're going to be able to stop it. I don't want to come on here on Saturday or Sunday night, whenever we do it, probably Sunday night. Saturday night's going to be late.
Oh, well,
unless we want to do it in the parking lot.
We're going to be doing a victory recording from the parking lot.
Yeah, maybe. But whenever we do it, I don't want to be coming on here and going, oh, we did the same shit again like we did last week. That's what I don't want. It didn't work against fucking Kansas, dude. Anyway.
Sorry, I was peeking around them.
Let's do this prediction. Let's just do the score prediction first. I don't know why I'm getting like so anxious and just like I can't handle it anymore. I can't handle it. Kevin, go first. What's your score prediction?
Well, I'm gonna temper my thoughts on our offensive production. Because
not a 50 burger.
Well, it seems like as soon as we get into the red zone, we just hit a brick wall. So I'm going to put us at I'm committed to us winning. We're going to win.
Find a way to win.
Yeah, we're going to win 17-14.
God. Oh, that's disgusting.
Heacock's going to work his magic. They'll probably score a touchdown on their opening drive because for some reason he likes to get my blood pressure up. But then he'll have it all sorted. And besides, Gilbert's got to get back on the right track.
Yeah.
Drive one in.
No, not at the end.
Drive one in. No, it's not going to be the game winner. We'll have it in hand at least 5 minutes before the game's over.
Okay. Tyler, what's going on?
All right. I think that the offense gets it going a little. I think we will score in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that we're going to end up clinching the game on like an interception or something like that.
Ooh.
So I say that we win 27-21.
All right. I'm just having a hard time seeing our offense put up those numbers is the problem.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, I see what y'all are saying, but
yeah,
this game's, so, you know, yeah. Anything can happen.
But you have to be thinking that we have to be implementing some wrinkles in our offense here after seeing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way that you can't go out and do like they did last week. They gotta put wrinkles.
Of course, you fucking can.
Definition of insanity. Definition of insanity. You know.
Of course you can, because we've done it for years. Yeah. You want to hear the answer? You want to hear the answer to this question? What your score prediction should be?
Why don't you say something that's completely ridiculous and negative?
What, 35-3?
So, I'm going to say my score prediction here. I'm not trying to be negative. Yeah. I'm not trying to hate my team. I would be in those stands the whole game, maybe miss the third quarter.
Your glass is just half empty. That's what it is.
Maybe a little bit. I'll be in the stands. I'll be cheering my ass off. I'll be flicking the refs off when they make a stupid call. I'll be there doing all that stuff. But I will always root for my Cyclones. I will always root for them to win. I don't understand tanking in college. It's the dumbest thing ever. You lose your recruiting class. You lose valuable coaches. I root for them to figure it out. Okay. And obviously a coach is way, way, way more important than a recruiting class. But it's not like we're going to fire Campbell to hire the next up-and-comer. No, no. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that this year.
Nor do we want to.
We're not going
to
do that next year. No, no, absolutely not. Even if we don't win another game this year, we're not going to fire him. I don't know if we have the money to. Anyway, but that's not the reason. We're just not going to. My score.
How bad are we losing?
My score prediction is 24-3.
Oh, good night.
I think we're gonna lose 24-3. I think we are going to get those 3 points in the third quarter. People are gonna start looking at each other like they score. It's 14-0 at half. And this is just, I think people are going to look at that. I'm not going to say anything more. I'll voice my opinions in the Discord about what exactly is going to play out, what I think. But I don't have faith that this offense can figure it out. There's too many mistakes, too many holes in the offensive line. Hunter Deckers has already seen ghosts. He can't make those flat routes. Out passes to the running backs that he needs to just to dump it down. His decision making is suspect, and I'm not bashing him. It's just he's just not ready yet to handle that. And
yeah, that
the way that we've called plays, we've never thrown it down the field at all. The only year where we didn't was when Tom Manning wasn't here in 2018. We just chucked it up to Hakeem Butler and other guys.
Now that Brent. Ben Bruns podcast that he does, he was talking about how Kansas was in a cover four, basically as soon as they realized Gerald Brock wasn't going to be coming back into the game.
Okay,
you can't see that from the TV, and I've heard other shows saying the same thing. And so was that part of the issue? I don't
know. You're giving him a pass. Okay. Let me tell you something, Kevin. You are part of a state-funded organization, which is kind of what an athletic program is. You get paid $1 million, and you don't have the duties to recruit or to coach kids directly. You should know how to beat a cover four with better players than them.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I hear a lot of these excuses of the offense looked all right.
No, I'm not saying that they looked good or not. I was just raising a point and wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
If you get paid $1 million a year or close to it,
right,
you should know how to beat a cover four.
Yep.
You should know how to beat a cover four with four grandmas with four grandmas and an elephant. Like, come on.
Between Hutchinson, Stanley, and Knoll.
You can't beat the cover four of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I get Alabama. Right. Kansas.
Sure.
Yeah, but Kansas, though.
That's why I think it's going to be 24-3. I don't have faith that we'll figure it out in a week. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm being real.
No, I can appreciate
that. That's all we ask for you, being real. I can appreciate that.
It makes me uncomfortable that I'm associated with somebody that's going to jinx the fuck out of the game because you're just going to ruin this.
It makes me sad when people tell me, hey, Eric, that McDonald's is killing you. It makes me sad, but I know it's true.
Now that
we all know it's true. What's up?
That reminds That reminds me of the. Oh, damn it. Yeah. The 28 game where we were dead to rights and came back from the grave.
Sure.
That could happen in your scenario.
That game,
Kansas State falls asleep.
That game
it's not going to happen, though. It's not going to happen, though. He's not going to allow Kansas State to score like that.
If you don't believe in divine intervention, look at the 2015 and 2018 Kansas State games. Just they both go each way. That is divine intervention. And you might go,
Dude, that was definitely some divine intervention. I remember that because I was watching that in my dorm room.
We were fucking dead and buried or cremated in Kevin's sense because we want to save money. Yeah, bro. But
it was 38-21. I'm like, man, this shit's over. We're about to lose, man, really? And then just it started happening. You're like, holy shit.
You can't tell me by the grace of God we won that game.
That's payback.
We sure did.
Mike Rose literally like Willie Harvey hits their quarterback. It just falls in Mike Rose's lap and he catches it. And the offensive guard is like has Mike Rose in his hands and lets him go.
They still owe us a few more though. the pendulum has not swung back to even right now because you guys ever went to the games in Arrowhead,
Nah, I wasn't a fan back then.
Let me. Tell me what's going on. Come on.
If you're asking for details, I'd have to go back and look at them.
You want me to tell you the dumbest Kansas State game ever?
Probably the whatever you're. It was where was it Lazard that got interfered?
Okay, that's probably the dumbest.
2017. Oh my gosh,
that's the dumbest in the sense of refs. I'm talking about the dumbest in the sense of Iowa State football.
Oh,
I'm talking about the only time that has been louder during like a full quarter than the 2018 West Virginia game. You'll know it when I tell you. 2012, we're at home. Colin Klein is just running the football.
Oh, man.
It's really close. And we throw the ball into the dirt 7 times in a row. We just need a touchdown to win and go away. That Colin Klein team couldn't do anything at the very end of the game coming down the stretch. And we couldn't. Jared Barnett, he just was missing dudes. He was throwing the ball into the dirt, just taunting me. Just taunting me. Like, yeah, it's right there, but you're not going to get it. You're never going to get it. You're a fucking loser. Go home and do your calculus homework, you fucking loser. You should have never come. You probably remember that game. It's maddening. It's infuriating to watch us just have it right there. Ooh, all we have to do is just go down the field and score a touchdown. And we can't. We can't even hit a receiver. The ball just goes in the dirt. Pissing me off. Oh my god. And the crowd has never been louder when we were on defense.
It's I'm excited. When I heard that it was a 6:30 kick, I was just like, yes, this is exactly what we need.
Yep.
Finally get us a real game time. Not these 1 o'clock things. People talk about the 1 o'clock's being better than 2:30 because then you get to get home in an hour.
Blah, blah, blah. Give me a break.
No, I was still feeling rushed at my tailgates pregame. 2:30 is better. But the 11 a.m., fuck those things. Those are just stupid.
11 a.m. 6:30?
6:30 is going to be great.
You might as well put those 11 o'clock games on at like 9. Just so you just could get there and go into the stadium and then go, at least you know after is the tailgate.
Only if the PA gets to pump in fake crowd noise.
Why?
Because nobody's ready to get going at 11 a.m., let alone 9 a.m.
Bullshit. I was riding in my car today, screaming out the window at 6:30.
Dude.
You can ask my wife. I'm ready to go. I'm every day, 24/7, ready to go. I'm ready to yell at somebody.
Yes.
I got enough anger. Anyway. Yeah. So
you were that asshole at McDonald's or wherever you were when you were telling that story at the beginning of the show.
No. I'll tell you more about that character, that clown, later, but it's not something I should put on a podcast. But anyway, yeah, I was losing 24-3. I hate it. I would hope we win every game, but I just don't see it. I don't see it. I'm being honest.
Well, I'm excited for me or Tyler's score to come.
All right. Yeah.
More comfortable sounds better than that.
As I'm saying, I think either of our scores are more realistic considering that we really never gotten blown out besides Notre Dame. But there is a way where like everything is just completely off the rails and all the stuff continues from last week and stuff and
Yeah, but that's not happening.
There's a way. I just don't see it. No, that's not happening.
That's right. So, Eric, you mentioned that you're going to get into more details about how we're just going to crash and burn on the Discord. Just a subtle, friendly reminder to anybody who listens but doesn't hang out on the Discord, you should join us.
Fun. It's really fun.
And if you don't want to hang out on the internet, but you want to hang out in person, don't forget tent number 5. It's the last year.
Mm-hmm. Be sure to bring some food.
Hey, that reminds me.
Bring some food.
I was too hot. I was too hot these last 2 weeks to remember to mention this, but we heard some unconfirmed but still encouraging news from buddy of ours, Sci Guy, about the possibility of where the Tent Row might get relocated.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that holds true and Pollard doesn't raise the rates.
Yeah.
But so there's still a chance. But in the meantime, we're just going to party like we're not going to be allowed to be a part of it anymore.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about this is a turning point in the season right here. It's very critical that we win this game.
Oh, this is where
a big one.
Our boys become men this Saturday. Yep. We're gonna just come out and show that maturity all of a sudden.
And do you want to go 4-2 or 3-3?
Like I was saying, that 3-3 though will be 0-3 in conference. So.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that first dub in the conference.
Tell you what, I was listening to that Kansas State Bosco's Boys podcast.
Oh.
And what got me on that.
Okay.
And then there's bias in every single one of these podcasts, and I can handle that. That makes it fun. Yeah.
But what got me was the guy dismissing us as not even being a contender for the championship game.
Are we not?
We're not showing it right now, but it's not out yet. And so So let's get the train back on the tracks so we can at least be fighting for it.
And to be honest, to be honest,
you can't throw us out already, dude. You can't throw us out.
Well, and think about this. They really shouldn't be overlooking us because we whooped their ass the last 2 years.
That's right.
And three out of the last four. So they should be hungry, coming for a win. They shouldn't be overlooking us. Like, you know what happens when teams overlook us. Like, that's the thing. They're the ones that should be like, well, man, they whooped our ass. Let's go. Let's, like, do what we used to do to them. Like, now I'm like, oh, we got this shit. Nah, man. Like, y'all should be the ones that are
more hungry. If you want to classify yourself as a contender, you have to win a freaking game in conference before you can just go out and say, yeah, we're a contender. We haven't won a game yet. And there have been multiple.
I hear that.
I told you when we lost to Baylor, it's not going to happen. You have key games every year. You can't lose your – it's like you know this with your Premier League where a game feels like 6 points instead of big ones.
Yeah. Yep.
Losing to Baylor, that's a six-point game right there.
No, I hear that. It's just
– because they're a contender.
We are in the third week of conference play. And yeah. So all I'm getting at is if this team – is ready to show it, like it has to start happening now. And what I was getting at with that Bosco's show was like that kind of just pissed me off a little bit that we're already getting slapped aside as one of those others.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much talent on this team.
Do you blame them though?
Kansas
do you blame
State them? Has always seen us like that.
Do you blame them, Kevin?
Well, the wins and the losses certainly are proving their point.
Yeah, but
it's too early in the season. I'm not ready to just say that we should be happy to maybe win 7-8 games.
What about West Virginia?
Oh no.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that yet.
Is West Virginia a contender?
Is
Oklahoma a contender?
I'm going to say this. This is the difference between us and Oklahoma and West Virginia.
Okay, what's the difference?
We've been there in November in recent memory. Okay. Were we in the hunt in this clusterfuck of a conference in November? West Virginia has not been. Has West Virginia beaten us in some of those years? Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the difference is we've been a contender in these last couple, 2-3 years.
Sure.
And they have not, even though we've lost to them in those years, that you can't just cast aside a program like this just because we have a different quarterback who might be more talented than the previous.
But I'm talking about the results on the field, though.
I'm just saying it's two games in. In a nine-game round robin,
we lost to Kansas, Kevin. Kansas.
It's Wednesday. I was past that yesterday.
Right. I mean Kansas is good.
Right.
Because like, Kansas is probably gonna win.
Kansas
is gonna win this Saturday. They're gonna go 6-0.
Kansas is probably
going to lose this weekend.
I think the wheels are going to fall off on them because it's just a
matter of time. I think it'll be closer than we think.
We fucked around.
I think they're going to TCU. I think TCU is going to come in and win.
Yeah, we fucked around and haven't done ourselves any favors.
If you fuck around and lose the winnable games, get ready. You can't go to the conference championship in the Big 12 where it's round robin in the top two go in. You can't fuck around and lose the winnable games.
How many
and
games
just, and hope to go?
how many games have you seen us play where you didn't think we really had that much of a shot of winning, and then we come out with that W? I'm not asking you to actually calculate.
Well, if I ask you, you think we win every game.
We're going to.
No, but
besides, there's a guy in our tailgate group that said if we're 7-2 going into the last game, home game of the season, he's going to roast a whole hog for the tailgate. So
yeah, that shit ain't happening.
We just need to not fuck up the rest of the way, and there'll be.
So we need to go 7-0.
That's right.
You need to beat a Kansas State. You need to beat a Kansas State team that's 2-0 and feeling it right now. You need to beat a Texas team that's firing all cylinders again. They lost to the Texas Tech team, but they're firing on all cylinders again. You need to go out and beat an Oklahoma team that's talented, and they might suck this year, but they're talented. You need to go out and beat the best team in the conference, Oklahoma State. That's four tough games right there that are going to be close. If you only win two of them, you're going to go 5-4 in conference. If you beat West Virginia.
So you rattled off those teams, and I'm thinking
when we beat West Virginia.
What about Texas Tech and TCU?
I'm thinking of Texas Tech with a brand new coach. With a brand new coach and a similar level of talent. I'm thinking of Texas, who are going to lose to Oklahoma in Oklahoma's Super Bowl this weekend.
Oklahoma's losing that game.
Big. I'm thinking of Oklahoma, who are probably going to consider firing Venables. If nothing else, they're going to wonder why they hitched their wagon to this loser.
Yeah, no shit. I didn't understand the hire from the beginning.
There's too many programs that are too close to one another. So we've dropped two that we should have won. Let's see that fucking ball bounce the other way on a couple here. I'm not ready to give up on that. I'm not either. And it's starting this Saturday night. It's starting this Saturday night on probably one of the most fundamentally sound teams that we're going to have to play the rest of the way, which makes it one of the most difficult teams that we're going to have to play the rest.
Exactly. Haven't been fundamentally sound.
And the fact that we're playing them at home at 6:30 at night is going to be a hell of a benefit because it's going to get fucking wild.
It sure is.
It's going to get fucking wild. If you guys are thinking about buying a ticket, and if I'm assuming there's some tickets available yet, you better get your ass in there if you want to see a good time, because it's going to get fucking wild. It doesn't get any better than that. A night game in warm weather in Ames.
I need to get mine still.
Come on. I'm ready to go. Get me to Saturday. Saturday.
I'm going to be rooting hard for the team. I just don't think we're going to win.
That's fine. You can be the fine. Debbie Downer in the corner.
I'm not going to be the Debbie Downer with us there. I'm not going to let people know what I think. I don't want them to pack it up and go home. Or stay in the tailgate. Or stay at the tailgate and just go. And the beer's cooled out here. This is the game that you need people to have beer for in the stadium.
First play touchdown.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, Kansas State.
Wouldn't that be crazy if Tyrell had an 80-yard touchdown?
Man, remember that 2020 year when they were marching it down our throats on that opening drive, fall out on a fourth down near the goal line?
Yeah,
and they went under center.
I was so pissed and that we were allowing center. That.
Yeah. Well,
and then we never looked back.
Right. Yeah, because I remember calling Eric, and we were like, just crazy, like, dude, it's 35-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good podcast, guys.
Oh, definitely.
All right. I hate that I'm picking against the Cyclones, but I gotta.
Sure. Just follow your heart.
It's not my heart. That's my head. Calm down. Anyway. Well. Fuck me. Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones. Beat the Wildcats.
Let's go.
Beat the Wildcats.